Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 13th day of March, 2021, where I'm delighted to be joined by Joe Olson, who's a brilliant engineer, qualified across virtually all fields. We have much to discuss. Mike Pompeo says that Putin will most certainly execute Zelensky. What else would we expect? That's hardly news. Former Secretary of State Pompeo said of Russia triumphant over Ukraine, a defeated President Volodymyr Zelensky will almost certainly be executed. I've never been asked that before as to what a Russian victory would mean for Zelensky, but it's almost certain. True that Putin would kill him off, haul him off to the gulag. Then we'd hear he died a short term later. But that would be the deserved death of a war criminal like Zelensky. Meanwhile, the Slovakian defense minister is declaring that instead of NATO troops entering Ukraine, they ought to take all the Ukrainians who have fled to their countries back to Ukraine to serve in the Ukrainian military. Meanwhile, RT is reporting that the Secretary General of NATO has endorsed negotiations as a way to end the conflict, that Ukraine should be independent. NATO must continue to support Kiev so it can negotiate with Moscow about becoming an independent state, the U.S.-led bloc Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Monday. Speaking at the ceremony to admit Sweden into NATO, Stoltenberg repeated the bloc talking points about supporting Ukraine in the conflict with Russia, but chose to frame the very hypothetical peace talks in terms of independence and sovereignty. We must continue to strengthen Ukraine to show Russian President Putin that he will not get what he wants on the battlefield, but must sit down and negotiate a solution where Ukraine is recognized and prevails as a sovereign, independent nation, ignoring the fact that Putin is winning on the battlefield, that Ukraine has been defeated. I find this, a bit preposterous, all things considered, since Stoltenberg and NATO already have forces in Ukraine. They are going the way of you, the Ukrainian soldiers. They are being decimated on the left and right themselves. A fourth story about Ukraine. Trump won't give money to Ukraine if elected, says Hungary's Orbán. This, of course, is perfectly appropriate. I just want to hear that he also won't give money or support to Israel unless it stops the slaughter of Palestinians. And not hearing that, I hold the man in moral contempt. Budapest. Former U.S. leader Donald Trump will not give money to help Ukraine fight Russia if he wins a presidency again and will hasten an end to the war, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban said after meeting him. Nationalist Premier Orban was backing his longtime allies' bid to return to the White House, met Trump in Florida on Friday. He will not give a penny into the Ukraine-Russia war, and therefore the war will end, Orban told state television late Sunday, as it is obvious that Ukraine on its own cannot stand on its feet. Joe, your thoughts about these latest reports from Ukraine, and welcome back to the show, my friend.
Oh, delightful to hear you. Got a little problem with the volume. I don't know why it's so quiet on my end. Can you hear me okay?
No, very, very faint, Joe. I don't know, maybe you go to a speakerphone or what?
I can try using my microphone and earphone.
Yeah, try again if you can.
Go ahead.
Not much better, Joe, sad to say. Joe, maybe you back out and drop this connection and call back in again.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Meanwhile, Phoebe to Biden. Take your red line and shove it. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is brushed off. Joe.
Yeah. Putting in my earphones. Let's see if this works any better. Can you hear me now?
Much better, Joe. Yes, go ahead. Thoughts about Ukraine?
Okay. Yes, we've had a dozen color revolutions, actually coups that were staged by the CIA in Eastern Europe, starting with Georgia in 2003. You can go to Wiki and put in color revolutions, and they'll list all of the ones that were done by the CIA, but we've done that worldwide. I highly recommend a site called Tales of the American Empire. They've got a dozen different chapters on the Anglo-American War against Russia, which are absolutely stunning. And this is exactly what's going on. Russia has 11% of the world's surface area. And so they've been trying to balkanize Russia since the Swedes invaded in 1709. And they did it again with Napoleon. They did it with the Bolshevik Revolution. They did it with the Japanese and Eastern Russia during 1905. War, you know, the whole thing has been 100% destruction of human beings, and it's all based on continuing war. In the last century, we killed over 100 million people exterminated by wars, and all of the wars were called by the same banking families, and they're the ones that are conducting these two current genocides, which have killed at least 500,000 in Ukraine, and those are white Christian men on both sides fighting against each other, and then they're killing 2 million in Gaza, where 30% of them are Christians. So, you know, if Christians and Muslims are being exterminated by the Jewish mafia, and it's transparent to everybody in the world now exactly what's going on. So hopefully this cabal is losing face and losing power, hope rapidly, but I'm not optimistic that it's going to come out the way we think it is.
Well, Joe, you surely do agree that Russia has just decimated Ukraine. They've lost over 500,000 troops. Every time they introduce new weapons, new tanks, new rocket systems, and so forth, the Russians promptly take them out. This is all outrageous, and I'm just dumbfounded that the West is simply unable to accept the reality of the situation. It may be because of the Rothschilds really don't want to relinquish Ukraine, and they're going to send every American soldier, son and daughter, there to fight a war, deplete our treasury, which is part and parcel, in my judgment, of the master conspiracy to make Ukraine the new Israel. And it's been a consequence of that failure that Russia has proven far too tough and robust to succumb to the feeble efforts of NATO together with Ukraine to promote their agenda that they have taken to the mass slaughter in Palestine, the ethnic cleansing that's taking place without U.S. support that likewise could not continue. Your thoughts?
Well, Yes, well, DJT has three fatal flaws, and one of them is that he's kind of supporting Ukraine, but he had 4 years to get us out of Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq, and he did absolutely nothing. So I've got a little bit of a problem with that, and he can't even apologize for not doing that correctly. And now he's saying he won't fund any further in Ukraine, but he gave Ukraine $400 million in his last year in office in order to kind of dampen down the trying to remember the name of the clowns that were involved in stage setting him, the Ukrainian guy that overheard a conversation about, if you can't tell me about the Burisma stuff, then I won't give you $400 million. But anyhow, so he was impeached over that, but the impeachment dropped. And then he can't say anything about Gaza other than Israel needs to finish the job. And he can't say anything about the worst medical product in the history of the planet, and that's the mRNA vaccines. And he's still claiming that he saved 100 million lives. So I'm sorry, Mr. Trump has to have a come to Jesus moment and say that all of these things were crimes that were committed against humanity, and that he has some responsibility in these crimes happening. And then he also has some responsibility in making sure that we have trials against all of the people that were actually the players making these happen. And until that happens, I'm very cautious about DJT.
Yeah, the problem being we don't have a viable alternative. Wayne Root, by the way, has picked up on the point you're making about the COVID vaccine. Get this. Alex Jones warns Trump will lose the election if he keeps praising the COVID vaccine. But I, Wayne Root, have a way for Trump to turn COVID vaccines into the biggest win-win of all time. I think Alex is right to be criticizing him for not being apologetic about it. I think it's also true that it's a big losing proposition for Trump taking credit for a vax that has murdered millions. In fact, my best estimate is worldwide it may be responsible for a billion deaths, as Wayne Root suggests. There are no votes to be gained, but money votes to be lost by praising the vax. It's a lose-lose. Having said that, Wayne Root continues, my goal is to always support and defend President Trump. He goes on to say about it, the greatness of him as a president, something a lot of us may have believed in the past, but are becoming increasingly skeptical about today. Here, Trump needs to pledge, if elected, he'll do four things, and he wins on the issue of the COVID vax. Number one, Trump pledges an executive order on day one banning any mandates ever again regarding the COVID vax, masks, or lockdowns. They are now illegal. No one could ever again be forced to do anything against their will. You want the vaccine and you want to wear masks? Do it. But everyone else is free not to do it. End of story. It's called freedom. Second, Trump pledges on day one to order a special counsel investigation of Big Pharma and the COVID vaccine. Did they work? Where we've had a steady stream of lies and propaganda? Just a sec. Trump pledges on day one to order a special counsel investigation of Big Pharma and the COVID vax. Did they work? Well, we've had a steady stream of lies and propaganda. Did Big Pharma lie? Are the vaccine deadly? Are excess deaths up dramatically worldwide since the vaccine? Did Big Pharma cover up deaths? And did they want to seal the trial results for 75 years? If none of this is true, then Big Pharma is nothing to be afraid of. Third, pledge to name RFK Jr. as the lead special prosecutor of this investigation. The man has integrity. With RFK Jr. in charge, we know Big Pharma can't buy its way out of indictments. And fourth, here's the big one that wins the presidency. Trump pledges an executive order on day one to force the government to reimburse for all back pay plus interest anyone who is fired or forced to quit their job because of COVID vaccine mandates. This is the government's responsibility. The Biden admin mandated you either take the job or lose your job. Take the jab or lose your job. That was wrong. That was criminal. That was un-American. We must right this wrong on Trump's first day in office. Your thoughts, Joe.
Yes, I found the information on the guy that was the squealer that was inside. He was in the NSC. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Alex Bendman, and he's the one that, quote, overheard the conversation where Trump was supposedly trying to extort the prosecutor to find some evidence about the Hunter Biden and Burisma and Big Joe kickback. And that's one of the things that he was being impeached for. So bottom line is, this guy's a dual citizen. He was lived in Ukraine until he was 3 years old when his dad brought him to the United States. And you can bet 100% that he's part of the inside cabal and was placed there in order to do exactly what he did. Trump was completely surrounded by swamp rats, and he did nothing to drain the swamp. He just appointed a different set of swamp rats to run his administration for him, and he was very careless about how he did that, and he's still completely unaware of how he was sandbagged by his own misbehavior.
Joe, I think that Trump did indeed, you know, blow it on the vax. I think you got that absolutely right, and that it's insane that he should. And the idea of recouping his losses here, I think it's much, much better. But he's got to begin apologizing right now, don't you think, for having made this colossal blunder? We even have Deborah Birx admitting that she actually misrepresented the CDC guidelines to Trump and that they manipulated him into going along with their social distancing lockdowns and mandates, where I think it's very obvious he ought to be taking it out on them, but not taking credit. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, there again, we got the same situation where he just didn't have any concept of how totally compromised all of the federal agencies are. And those are the ones that sandbagged him with this. In particular, on the COVID issue, it was the NIH, which did all the funding for the germ warfare, the CDC, which approved all kinds of products under emergency use authorization where they didn't have the right to do that, and the FDA, which went ahead and rubber stamped everything. So bottom line is, all of these federal agencies are fully compromised, and that includes every one of them. Same thing with the ATF, the FBI, the DOJ, the EPA. They need to have a complete cleaning of house. And I was listening to public radio this morning on the way in, and they were saying about how entrenched the bureaucracy is, and they were interviewing a candidate on that subject, and they're exactly right. Under Jimmy Carter, they formed the Senior Executive Service, which at this point has over 10,000, quote, employees that are never required to meet any kind of background checks, any educational requirements, and they are placed in department heads, and then they're shuffled between different departments based on their ability to manipulate things. And that's why we have this rotten situation with the FAA, where they can't override the manufacturing of Boeing airplanes. They assign all of the inspections to the staff of Boeing. And Boeing just admitted that over 50% of their profits come from no-bid contracts with the DOD, and that messing with passenger planes is really kind of a sideline, and it's a nuisance. So bottom line is, how much safety are we going to compromise to not have any safety at all?
Joe, I couldn't agree more. And of course, the other issue where I'm especially profoundly disturbed, you mentioned Trump has finished the problem or solved the issue with the Palestinians, seemingly to imply the genocide. I am staggered by that. I was tremendously upset when he took out Soleimani. That was an unforgivable act. But I can work around that if he could be more forthright in rejecting genocide. This is an ultimate moral issue. If he has no more character to stand against genocide because it's Israel that's committing the genocide and he likes to support Israel, some even believe he's actually converted to Judaism, that to me is unacceptable. I don't know that I would have the option of voting for anyone other than Trump in spite of it. But frankly, it alters my opinion toward him tremendously. In the past, I would have taken a bullet for this guy after that. Absent denunciation of Israel's conduct, no more.
Yes, well, the problem with the lesser of two evils is you end up with the evil of two lessers. And it's really ironic that the people that have been claiming never again since World War II are now the ones that are in charge of having their own master race and their own final solution for basically everybody. Because when they get finished with the folks in Gaza, then they're going to take care of the folks in Lebanon, and then they're going to take care of the folks in Syria, then they're going to take care of the folks in Iraq, and then they're going to take care of the folks in Iran. But the problem is they can't take care of any of those folks without us being the absolute stupid, ignorant muscle behind all this overthrow. And they've already done it to us because they staged that 9-1-1, which you and I have discussed extensively, and that got us into Afghanistan and Iraq. And then from there, they did the Operation Zero Footprint, where they had the Arab Spring, and they overthrew the governments of Tunisia, Yemen, Egypt, and Libya. And then they did the CIA Operation Timber Sycamore, where they imported Libyan arms through Turkey into northern Syria, and they killed over 500,000 Christians that had lived in Syria for 2,000 years as part of an extermination program there. But you never hear about that. And then we created this enormous refugee problem by destroying all of the means of production in the whole entire country. Syria produces 88,000 barrels of oil per day, and the United States has been stealing 66,000 barrels per day since 2014. And Trump said, we're staying in Syria because we need the oil. Like Syria doesn't need their own oil? Absolutely inexcusable. The guy has no clue about science or history, and as a result, he's directed by his own World Wrestling Federation worldview, and he has no ability to hire people that can contradict him. He needs to have somebody in his cabinet like Colonel McGregor who's going to sit there and actually tell him the facts in a way that he won't be able to resist them. And that's the problem. He has not been able to find those kind of people and bring them around him. Matter of fact, if you're looking for a vice president, I think McGregor would be a really good choice.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. He'd be superb. Meanwhile, beam me to Biden. Take your red line and shove it. This is from Ron Paul. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has brushed off President Biden's warning that attacking Rafah with a huge concentration of Palestinian civilians would be a red line for the U.S. He has vowed to attack anyway, defined as prime supplier of money and bombs. Also, will the U.S. actually ban a social media platform? Get it. Here's what he's got to say.
The ones that I love are those $25 of those $5
little,
people. They
little commitment
because I know
Trump.
One thing, they're going to be. Are you still interested in the?
Wow, they're packing him on. You got to go through a couple of ads now.
Realize that this is all for good sakes.
Yeah.
I was so shooken up about Liz.
Cheney.
I mean. I mean, she's been doing quite well for herself.
For herself, yeah.
But anyway, she's gotten caught and maybe messing around with the records, but we'll have to wait and see. We'll have the FBI check into it
and
tell us what the real truth is. But I want to start off with what's going on in the Middle East. We've talked about it, but it seems like it's coming to a climax. I don't know if that's right, but it's been climactic for so many years anyway. But Netanyahu says he will ignore Biden's red line. Biden is the boss.
Yeah.
He runs the equipment. He runs the money. And if he doesn't, we don't do. If Israel doesn't do what we want, he's going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Which is a bunch of baloney. I don't think he'd do anything. But I think they're in a dilemma. You know, I think they both of them sort of have both sides. They have to satisfy everybody. Netanyahu's in the middle. The Democratic Party's in the middle.
Yeah.
And their party is split. And that it splits for a decent reason, but it's not the right reason. That is that it's factional, one faction against another. It isn't like, should we be there or should we stay out of the internal affairs of all these border wars around the world? That subject really never comes up. And it is something that could get out of hand because Netanyahu is becoming more aggressive. I've seen more negative stuff in our press than I've ever seen before.
That's true.
And yet, the Israeli people might be a little bit nervous, but they're not saying. They want to be tough. And that's why they'll probably just stick with him. They're not going to put him out of office now. But it's absolutely amazing to me of our various so-called allies and friends that, they're the benefactors of all that we do. Then they come, whether it's Ukraine or Israel, anybody. They're the boss.
Yeah.
They come in and tell us what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the borders and everything else, somebody else is going to tell us what to do. And I think that's why this interventionist system that we've been dealing with for years, the planning and the foreign policy and all, I think it's coming to a climax because it's not workable.
Yeah.
And, finally the Soviet system decided it wasn't workable. And I think a lot of people had hoped during the Cold War that there would be a different system. It's in between, but I argued about the in-between system because you have to give up any decent part of each side, you end up with a mess. And that's what we have here. We have internal fighting over the special interests because we designed a system that's what we do. We divvy up the loot. And then the loot is always used to buy the Congress. And then they call that, well, we're for democracy. And it's the opposite of democracy. So I think it's a philosophic tragedy. But I think they all use lying and innuendos and pretense to make the people feel decent about it. But sometimes all this intervention, like COVID, the government had to be involved to save the country from this endemic. Yet it turned out that the people finally had to wake up, But our point, at least my point, is that we want to wake up people before they make another tragic mistake. And the tragic.
I think that's it. Let's wake up people before they make another tragic mistake, but it may be too late. Joe, we'll take your thoughts right after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m.
Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yes, well, bottom line is we are have a culture where we're absolutely indoctrinated with directed narratives constantly. And just to give you two little data points to put this stuff in perspective, there was a quote comedy that was released in 1959 called The Mouse That Roared about a nuclear power that dropped a bomb or a missile on a tiny little country in Europe, but the bomb didn't go off. So now all of a sudden this country had access to a nuclear bomb and started dictating policy to all of its adjoining neighbors. And that's exactly what we have in the case of Israel. They stole all of their nuclear material and all of their nuclear technology from the United States, set up their own processing plant in Dimona, lied about it. They never signed the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty. They cooperated with South Africa to produce nuclear bombs for South Africa and themselves and tested them down there. So bottom line is Israel is the mouse that roared, and they're threatening all of their Arab neighbors with the, quote, Samson option, which is if Israel goes down, we're taking out every Arab capital within a 1,500-mile radius of Tel Aviv, because that's the way we roll. And then the other thing is the Hannibal directive, which is that any time that an Israeli citizen or soldier is captured by another force, the object is to kill them so that they can't be used in a prisoner swap. So that kind of gives you an idea of where they're coming from. And then the next one is that movie Mouse That Roared was in 1959. The next one is Wag the Dog, which came out in 1997. I highly recommend that you go to Wiki and read the story about this, because it involves, it came out exactly 1 month before news broke about the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal. And then they started the bombing of the pharmaceutical factory in Sudan as a diversion in August of 1998. They promoted the media. They did the same bombing campaign in Iraq in 1998. And then in 1999, they started the Kosovo War, all in an effort to distract from exactly the same scenario that was in the movie Wag the Dog, which is the president was caught with an underage girl, and in order to get the news off the headlines. So that's exactly what they did. They knew that these scandals were coming. And they do Hollywood programming so that when the things happen, you go, oh, well, of course that happened, because we already saw a movie about it. They are preconditioning you for all of the means of tyranny that they're planning on enforcing. And that's exactly where we find ourselves today. We have got to take control of the planet away from these demonic Satan worshipers and get it back in the hands of normal people. And I have a riddle that is very telling. If the opposite of pro is con, what is the opposite of progress? That would be Congress, where we have 535 puppets that do exactly what they're paid to do, and none of them could give a flip about the citizens of this country or the great traditions that we supposedly have as a nation, and they're in the process of completely destroying our country.
Yes. Candace Owens has been making some waves. She's been going after the anti-white agenda, explaining that white people ended slavery. She's also endorsed and staked her reputation on what appeared to be the result of a 3-year investigation, to wit, what is being described as incontrovertible evidence that Bridget Macron the wife of the president of France is actually a man by the name of Jean-Michel Trigneau. Here we have the Truth Barrier Substack. I want to say something very simple and true. People think and perceive reality media information along class lines. Bourgeoisie around the world call this absurd, transphobic, anti-Semitic, anti-vax, and the latest slur, anti-Mason. I want to be called anti-Mason. Expect the French elites and international elite media to make this shameful, as they always make evidence shameful. That's the only evidence they have, shame and class contempt. I also believe it's a sign of an almost incomprehensible period of disclosure and revelation. The Macron orb had everything in it the global elites wanted. Normalization of sexual assault, pedophilia, family destruction, forcing people to cheer and celebrate a great love affair that makes us all very uncomfortable. We're sick of the endless lies and endless demands. We view these people as wonderful, liberated, wise, sophisticated, and morally superior to us. Investigative journalism is back. Global elites depend on its non-existent for their unending lies and repetitions. You may or may not recall, Joe, that Macron married a woman who was much, much older than he. They appear to have begun having an affair when he was like 17 or such. And it appears this actually has all along been a man. And Candace has gone all out on it. She's made declarations. The Daily Mail is even picking up on it. They're saying Candace Owens says she'll stake her entire reputation on what the Daily Mail says is a debunked theory that the French First Lady, Brigitte Macron, is a man. But I don't see where it's debunked, Joe, any more than it's debunked that Michelle Obama is a man. And I'm wondering whether, you know, Candace could be going all in on this. Here's a tweet from her in anticipation of the even more significant expose about Michelle. Candace tweets, "This episode is blowing up, so I just want to say, after looking into this, I would stake my entire professional reputation on the fact that Brigitte Macron is, in fact, a man. Any journalist or publication that's trying to dismiss this plausibility is immediately identifiable as establishment. I've never seen anything like this in my life. The implications here are terrifying. I do not intend to let up on this story, and I'm calling on other journalists to look into this explosive story and report accordingly." And I say, well, if you want the sequel regarding, Barack Obama and Michelle, check out two presentations I did back in 2020, one called Issues of Identity. You can find it online. Another, Deception Galore, from my False Flags and Conspiracies conference for 2020. You can find that on my blog. Go to events, jameshfetzer.org. Go to events right there on the menu bar at the top. Scroll down to, it's got the four False Flag conferences that I've orchestrated there with access to the contents. Go to the 2020 and check out Deception Galore, where I lay it out. Joe, you know, it's just stunning how much we are lied to. The deception is massive. I've long believed that all this transgender rubbish here in the U.S. is because Barack and Michelle are such a weird couple. They want to feel normal, so they're trying to normalize sexual aberrations. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, it turns out that Mrs. Macron was actually his nanny, and she started being his nanny, or he or she or whatever, started being his nanny when he was 14 years old. And in France, 14 is the age of consent. So I have a little bit of disrespect for the French in that regard. In England, it's like age of consent is 17. Most of the places in the United States, it's now 18. So, you know, I don't consider the Europeans to be our moral superiors in that aspect. But the next thing is, they want to destroy every social boundary that there is, make everything a wedge issue. And there's no way, even if you take mRNA vaccines and alter your genes, You cannot alter your XY gene. So there are two genders. There are two sexes, regardless of how you want to look at it. Any anthropologist 1,000 years from now digs up a skeleton, they're going to find a male skeleton, and they're going to find male DNA, and there's no way of changing that. And yet we have to have this, quote, national debate where we have to honor people that identify as something opposite. And you have a great swimming champion, Riley Gaines, who had her trophy stolen by a 6'4" man that outweighed her, 220 pounds. And that's that, quote, Leah Thomas guy that was rated like number 400 nationally as a man. But when he started competing as a woman, suddenly he was breaking every one of the records that women had been setting in the United States for the last 100 years. So bottom line is, we do not need this type of indoctrination, and we do not need this type of, quote, diversity, because this is the worst kind of diversity you could possibly have. There's absolutely no safety for women that are in restrooms where men are allowed to go in there. So bottom line is, this is just part of the cultural rot that they're trying to use to destroy the whole entire nation. And it's insidious, and it covers absolutely every aspect of reality. And that's what we need to get rid of.
You know, Joe, there's been a lot of speculation lately about who Trump might pick for his VP running mate. I've long thought that Tulsi Gabbard would be a great choice. I may or may not feel as strongly today. Kristi Noem's a name that's been touted highly. Kristi Noem, however, has just signed a new anti-hate bill into place and said that we have to protect the chosen people, Joe. How outrageous is that?
South Dakota, with like 1 million people live in South Dakota, and there's only 200 Jews in the whole entire state. And she's so interested and protected their hurt feelings because somebody might mention that the Holocaust is a gross exaggeration, that there was likely less than 200,000 Jews that were killed during World War II, compared with the 40 million Christians that were killed during World War II in Europe. So bottom line is, yeah, I have no respect for her at all. But we've got the same situation here in Texas. Our governor and lieutenant governor adamantly passed that. And then they also put contracts in all of the state contracts that you have to sign a loyalty that you will not do divestment from Israel in order to be a contractor. And if they find any evidence that you've ever supported disinvestment, then they will come after you and make sure that you don't get any state contracts. So bottom line is, the whole entire system in the United States has been subverted in order to protect this one minority that is less than 2% of the population of the United States, less than 0.1% of the population of the world, and yet has control of 90% of the Western capital. It's absolutely insane that we have this type of a pyramid structure, and it's time for the pyramid to flip.
Joe, I couldn't agree more. I have other stories I could introduce, but I invited you on to address issues that are of burning interest to you, Joe. You're welcome to take the mic and run with it.
Okay, well, now we've got another little hot spot that they've been kicking around for centuries, and that's Haiti's got a revolution going on, which will probably put another million Haitian refugees on the coast of Florida, where they do not integrate at all. But Haiti got fought a revolutionary war against France from 1791 until 1804, when they supposedly got their independence. They ended slavery, but they did not end forced labor. At the time of their revolution, Haiti produced 40% of the world's sugar and 60% of the world's coffee, and they have since been able to completely destroy their economy on the same island with the Dominican Republic, where the people have one of the highest incomes in all of the Caribbean area. So bottom line is, this is a failed state, and the first thing that they did at the time of their revolution, the population was 80% African black, and then there was about a 2 or 3% that were European whites, and then the rest of them were mulattoes that were a combination of whites. The first thing the blacks did when they seized power in the country was exterminate all the whites. The next thing they did was exterminate all the mulattoes. And so basically they managed to reduce their IQ, they managed to reduce their skill level, and then they created a primitive society. And when the Clintons were in charge, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, got control of the redevelopment of Haiti after they had an earthquake. And all of the earthquakes are, at this point, are a little bit suspicious, but they ended up stealing 143 tons of gold from Gaddafi in Iraq, in Libya. And then they brought it over to Haiti, where they had an assay ship that was set up, and her brother was in charge of the gold mining in Haiti, and they had drilled a well that said that they found gold deposits with a 4-inch well that was 60 feet deep, and that they were going to come over and start extracting gold. And what they did is they took all of the gold they had stolen from Gaddafi and minted it as being new gold with new serial numbers and put it in Swiss bank accounts. And so bottom line is, that's what these pirates have been doing worldwide for hundreds of years.
Fascinating, Joe. Do continue.
Okay. Let's see. Next on my hot list. We've got this trial going on down in the devil came down to Georgia. He was looking for some souls. Yeah, and that's a real piece of work. We have a attorney named Phil Holloway that has got a great video. I'll put a link to that when this is posted. And basically, you've got Fannie Willis, who is totally compromised in this whole thing. She met with the White House and she met with the January 6th committee in order to set up everything for her, quote, indictment against Trump and his, quote, fake racketeering charges. In the meantime, she's running a complete racketeering operation out of her DA's office. They've got thousands of cases that have been untried because she's too busy doing other things. And so she's completely compromised herself. And the 2020 election, they had, through the election, they managed to get two Democrat senators, Raphael Warnock, who's a black minister, and a guy named John Ossoff, who is a journalist. And if you Google the or Wikipedia, the bios on those guys, Ralph Warnock is listed as the first black senator from Georgia, and John Ossoff is listed as the first Jewish senator. So there you go. You get a little bit of diversity. You get the 13% get their representative, and the 2% get their representative in the United States, but the white Christians have absolutely no representation. Those two Senate seats, along with the one that Fetterman stole in Pennsylvania and the other stolen Senate seats and House seats, gave the Democrats close enough to a majority that they were able to rule. And then in 2022, the Republicans were able to take back a few House seats. But there again, all of these elections have been stolen. In the state of Texas, the state legislature was made aware in 2015 that the Hart Intercivic voting machines and the electronic systems and software machines, along with the Dominion-owned Optech software that does all the tabulations, were 100% rigged, but they did nothing about it because the RINOs would prefer to win their primaries, and they prefer to keep a split with the DINOs, which are the Democrats in name only, to a 49-51% ratio, so they can go, well, you know, this election, most important in the world, it could go either way, when it goes only one way. That's the uniparty wins every damn time. And in the state of Texas, we don't have a half dozen representatives that are MAGA first and America first people. And in the U.S. Congress, there's only about 20 people in the House, and there aren't but about a dozen in the Senate that are America first. The rest of them are 100% uniparty puppets, which is why you end up with these ridiculous continuing resolution. Since 2008, the Congress has not passed a budget as they are constitutionally required to do. Absolutely absurd that we consider this to be a representative government and that we have the moral authority because of our, quote, democracy to go around and overthrow every other country in the world because they don't do what we tell them to do. It's absolutely gunboat diplomacy. which never works when your opponent ends up getting a gunboat of their own, which is what Russia and China are proving to us on a daily basis.
Joe, I can't pass up the opportunity to have you here to address the ongoing efforts about global warming. The EV effort seems to have fallen flat. The dealers have thousands upon thousands of EVs. Nobody's buying. They're clogging their lots. They're giving them away at dramatic discounts. Toyota, which went the hybrid rather than the EV route, has been making billions. Hybrids, which combine electric with gasoline and increase your mileage substantially to around, I think, 45 miles a gallon with a Prius, for example. I have a friend who's only owned Priuses since they first became available and has nothing but raves to say about it. It seems to me the EV business is shot, gone forever. It does more pollution. It does more damage to Earth. The vehicles actually are major polluters and not an improvement on gas-powered. They lack traction required to pull heavy loads. You have to stop and charge them, waste endless amounts of time. It doubles, triples, quadruples the amount of time to take even relatively short trips, all outrageous. Joe, you have done some of the best work with which I am familiar on global warming. I don't want to miss this opportunity for you to review the bidding, my friend.
Yes, anybody that's curious about that needs to go see the so far 9 series that we have at BitChute on global warming. And we need to do 2 more. We need to do 1 more on proxy data, which is a complete joke. And we also need to do 1 on nuclear power, which is extremely destructive. The light water reactors using uranium are absolutely absurd. And you and I should plan to do that in the very near future, because that's going to be an important thing. But bottom line is, there's no way that any gas molecule can capture, store, redirect, or amplify radiant energy heat, either coming from the sun or radiating off of the sun's heat of the Earth's surface. So there is no, quote, global warming. But the second thing, getting back to the EV part of it, is that Prius used nickel hydride batteries, which has never had a case of the batteries erupting in flames like the Tesla lithium batteries do. Yes, the lithium batteries are extremely dangerous. They're horrible for the environment. They're extremely heavy. They've got 2,000 pounds of just battery in a Tesla. And so bottom line is, you've increased your vehicle weight. They are inoperable when the temperatures get over 110. They're inoperable when the temperatures get below 20 or 30 degrees. Everything that's in there is electric. So if your air conditioning's running, that reduces your mileage. If your heating is running, that reduces your mileage because it's using the same power source. They're a completely absurd system, and then there's no way of recycling the material after they've been put into a battery, and the battery ends up having all kinds of impurities in the electrolyte and the battery cells, cathodes, and anodes that go into manufacturing the battery, and all of those end up forming what's called dendrites, which end up shorting the batteries out, and you never know how many times you're going to be able to recharge one of them, but typically with a battery, you have 400 recharge cycles. And then the battery cannot be reused. And that's why, you know, we have the typical lead acid battery. You can take the lead out and melt it and remanufacture a lead acid battery. But there's no way of doing that with lithium. So bottom line is, we're creating this enormous environmental hazard from all of these eco trinkets that have no basis, quote, for saving the planet, and are would not be possible without massive subsidies, at least 25% on the part of the government to the buyers, and then another 25% by the government to the manufacturers to force them to manufacture these trinkets. And the same thing goes with the ridiculous photocells. And we've done, we've done excellent work on that. There are 9-hour-long videos that are under Joe Olson, Climate Chain at BitChute. And I'll put a link to that when this video is posted.
Yeah, Joe, you can go back to 600 million years of Earth history where there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. If there's no correlation, there can be no causal connection. because causal connections require that the presence of the cause bring about the presence of the effect, whether universally or probabilistically, and we have neither in the case of global warming, which means it's preposterous to claim that CO2 is actually bringing about global warming. It cannot be true. It is an impossibility. Plus, as you've emphasized, CO2 is indispensable to life on Earth. It's involved in the production of both air and water, and in addition, has a cooling effect on Earth in three or four different directions. Could you please explain all of that?
Yes. Photosynthesis takes sunlight and carbon dioxide from the air or carbon dioxide that's in the water and changes it into sugars, starches, and cellulose, which are the basis of all life forms on the whole entire planet. So without CO2 in the environment in an attainable form, there would be no life on the planet at all. So it's absolutely 100% life-giving, and there's a direct correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the amount of plant growth on terrestrial plants. And that is a linear relationship that goes from the current 400 parts per million up to 1,600 parts per million. And each time you increase, you get a linear increase. So if you have 400 parts per million and you have a greenhouse and you bump the CO2 level up to 1,600, you get four times the growth. So that's exactly what we're doing to the planet. We're greening the planet. In the process of photosynthesis, the plants also release water vapor and oxygen, which are necessary for the other life forms on the planet. And anytime you start greening the planet, you end up producing a moist environment that is able to create even more life. So what we're seeing is a greening of the Sahara as a direct result of the amount of human carbon dioxide that is increased in the atmosphere. And I had to have two semesters of thermodynamics in order to be an engineer. And prerequisites for that were four semesters of chemistry, three semesters of calculus, and two semesters of physics.
Joe, take a deep breath. We're going to continue with Joe Olson right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Joe, because you are among the leading experts in the field, I also would like to address the use of nukes on 9/11. I mean, this is in such a crucial matter, indicating that parties that didn't have access to nuclear weapons could have had nothing to do with the United States, and that only parties that had access to the Twin Towers in advance could have set it up for their demolition to take place in the fashion that it did. Which, of course, was anything but a collapse. In fact, both of those buildings are blowing apart in every direction from the top down. All their floors remain stationary, awaiting their turn to be blown to kingdom come. In the memorable phrase of Morgan Reynolds, they're being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, which, by the way, is a signature of the use of nuclear devices. And when it's over, there was nothing there, no pile of debris at all. They were reduced to ground level or even below, according to Father Frank Morales, who was a first responder from St. Mark's Episcopal Church I featured on my shows twice in the past. Unlike Building 7, we have 5.5 floors of debris. All the floors come down at the same time in a classic symmetrical controlled demolition, which is just exactly what we expect based on past experience. It's a 47-floor structure. 12% is the residue, 5.5 floors, totally unlike the mode of demolition of the building 1 and 2. Your thoughts, Joe Olson.
Okay, well, why don't we save that for a few minutes? I want to get back to the global warming thing because this is a lot more involved than what we were able to discuss so far. Bottom line is the only reason they've been able to keep this hoax going for the last couple of decades is because it's a controlled opposition debate, which I classified as being the warmest. At the time, they called us deniers. I didn't want to use something as emotive as the term deniers. And so I started calling them warmest. But then when they had the climate gate in November of 2009, and they released 2,200 emails showing that they had been rigging all of the data and rigging all of the peer review. The community split, and there was a lot of people that were, quote, global warming believers that suddenly became, well, carbon dioxide warms, it just doesn't warm a whole lot. So I started calling them the lukewarmest. And I attended a debate with Richard Lindzen from MIT and Gary North from Texas A&M, and it was the only debate that was ever held between a warmist and a, quote, lukewarmist. And this was in January of 2010. They had a two-hour debate, quote, at the Houston Petroleum Club as a luncheon, and then they had another two-hour debate at Rice University that evening. And prerequisites for Gary North to be able to, quote, debate Lindzen was that, first of all, there was going to be no visual material allowed, because if you can't show graphs and charts, it makes it really hard to understand science. You're just kind of just waving your hands in the air. Next thing was that there was going to be no mention of ClimateGate, because those emails were stolen, when in fact there was 50 legitimate requests for information in England to get their data and get their internal communications, and all of them were ignored. And in England, if you don't honor an FOIA request within 6 months, then it becomes mute. So all of those 50 complaints to get access to publicly funded data and university programs was denied, and that's what was leaked in the ClimateGate. So bottom line is, they said you were not allowed to discuss anything about ClimateGate because those emails were stolen, even though they had legitimate reasons, because they were taxpayer funded, that they should have been shown. And the third thing was that there was going to be no recording devices allowed. And so they came in and collected everybody's cell phones. And if they caught you using a cell phone, you were immediately thrown out of either one of those venues. And why would they do that? Because they didn't want to have any record of how stupid the people were on both sides of this ridiculous argument. So I met and lectured in person by Lindzen, Fred Singer twice at University of Houston, a former meteorologist here in Houston, but he was former director of the Hurricane Center for NOAA, Dr. Neil Frank, and none of them know anything about thermodynamics or radiation physics in the atmosphere. I attended the Heartland Institute lukewarmest convention, the ICC9 in Las Vegas in 2014. I sat in a room with 600 claimed skeptics for 4 days and listened to them rattle on and on about how carbon dioxide only warms a little bit, and warming a little bit is a good thing, when in fact it is nothing but a coolant. So that's a complete fraud. And then Heritage Society had a crossroads summit here in Houston where they had 300 people for 3 days. And I sat in the same situation with a bunch of people that had never taken thermodynamics class and listened to them babble on and on about carbon dioxide warms a little bit. It does neither. It's ridiculous. So that's enough on that subject. Now, as far as the nuclear vaporization, I'm a trained structural engineer. I took every required civil engineering course to be a structural engineer. It's just that civil engineering involves a whole bunch of things. It involves bridges and dams and utilities and roads and subdivisions and surveying. And so I didn't specialize in doing building construction, even though I had the complete knowledge to do building construction. And doing MEP work for the last 50 years, I have worked in hundreds of multi-story buildings in 20 different states. So I'm very familiar with how structures are built. And I'm very familiar with all the structural systems and everything it takes. And when I saw those buildings fall, as a matter of fact, on the morning of 9/11, when I watched the tower, the South Tower, lean over 22 degrees, I was on the phone with a friend of mine. And I said, well, it looks like the top tower is going to have shear on the tension side, and then it's going to have compression on the other side, and the top 20 floors are going to flop over, hit the side of the building, and fall down on the ground. And then suddenly, the building started tilting back upright and then fell down in its own footprint in 14 seconds. I said, this is 100% controlled demolition, but I didn't know how the demolition happened. And I, as an engineer, I can't make public statements about something just based on hypothesis or just based on hearsay. And so I couldn't make a public statement about it until I got a whole lot more evidence. But I continued for the next 15 years studying what was happening. And lo and behold, in May of 2014, Veterans Today started running a series of articles called Nuclear Education. And they published 80 of those articles. Finally, by March of 2015, I had read a dozen of the articles as they were being posted at Veterans Today. And I had enough confidence in, number one, my understanding of structural engineering, And number two, my understanding of all of the evidence of what happened that day. And number three, all of the evidence that had been presented by Veterans Today. And you and I had a great YouTube discussion on March 16th, 2015, called Unequivocal 911 Nukes. That was such a great title that I went ahead and wrote an additional paper on that. And we'll get to that in just a second. But bottom line is Veterans Today continued to produce more and more material about the nuclear vaporization. And it looks like it was a 1.5 to 2 kiloton bomb that was placed in elevator shaft number 50, went up through the center of the building. The shock wave was enough to exceed the detonation velocity of the steel and concrete in the building, causing the core of the building to collapse. As the core of the building collapsed, then the vapor, the pulse from the, I'm trying to remember the exact name for it, our plasma bunker buster bombs. Yeah, the plasma that came up out of this nuclear bomb that was in the basement ended up vaporizing the whole core of the building. And I go into complete detail about all of that in the article that I posted at Veterans Today. But before we get to that, I was contacted by Robert David Steele in 2018 to write a memo to the president. He said, I've got two contacts in the White House and in the cabinet, and they said that if you can write a letter to the president about what happened on 911, I will get it in front of his face. And as a candidate in 2016, Trump promised that he would tell us what happened to the JFK material and then what happened on 911, because he was interviewed right after the building collapsed, and he said bombs were placed inside the building. Well, they certainly were, Mr. President. Why don't you disclose the information on that? But then as a president, he did absolutely nothing about it. Well, the preconditions that Robert David Steele had was that you cannot write more than 800 words because Trump will not read more than two pages, and you have to include a picture. So I wrote an article called Twin Towers Destroyed by Clean Nukes. And then you wrote an article, and then there was a whole bunch of other people, Richard Gage, who I've met at five different events and interviewed him with you, and then also on TNT Radio. And then great Hightower, Mark Hightower, did a chemical engineer, did great information on explosives. And so bottom line is we were given all the material in 28 different memos in August of 2018, and you did absolutely nothing about it. So in 2019, I wrote an article called Unequivocal 911 Nukes, where I explained all of my background in civil engineering, all of the background in the construction of the World Trade Center towers based on the FEMA documents that are actually correct about the building construction, and then all of the evidence that pointed to this being 100% a nuclear event, which we could go into even more excruciating detail. After my article was published at Veterans Today, I was contacted by one of my readers, and they said, Olson, you need to read the Palmer Report. This is produced by four physicists from Europe, two of them from Germany, one from Denmark, and one from France, and they had studied this extensively. They have 45 PowerPoint slides in the Palmer Report and three 90-minute videos, which were translated from German by Jeff Prager. And they were published at Veterans Today as breathtaking, solving nuclear 911, which was really great, except that these guys had, number one, no understanding of building construction. So they made a lot of technical errors from that standpoint. And then also they hadn't really studied what happens in the course of the nuclear event is that you get a lot of isotopes from the gamma rays and beta rays that are being sent out, and they end up turning all of the various elements that are involved into isotopes. And so I wrote an additional article at Veterans Today called Exposing the NIST Jenga Game. NIST is National Institute of Standards and Technology. And they're the ones that came in and said, well, it looks like just classic pancake falling construction. Well, guess what? There's never been a steel frame structure that fell as a result of fires, even if they burned 24 hours. So that's completely bogus that the thing fell just from the weight of gravity. So bottom line is I wrote that additional article where I go into the basics about the isotopes, and the basic building materials is that you have iron, which, and I go into the radioactive isotopes of those. Let's see. Oh, okay. Iron has four stable and 24 radioactive isotopes. Carbon has two stable and 13 radioactive. Calcium has 5 stable and 21 radioactives, and silicon has 3 stable and 20 radioactives. Those are the elements that make up steel and concrete construction. In addition, you had a lot of sheetrock in the building. That includes gypsum, which is calcium sulfate, and sulfur has 4 stable and 19 radioactive. In the granite bedrock that's underneath the building, you have sodium, which has 1 stable and 18 radioactive, and you have phosphorus, which has 1 stable and 21 radioactive.
So yeah, continue, Joe. Yeah, I think you're nailing it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So bottom line is you had the capability under a high gamma ray production of turning 150 different isotopes out of the basic materials that were in the building site, and that's what would keep the building nuclear radioactive until December when it was 2,500 degrees hot with them pouring fire water on it constantly 24/7 from the time of the event on September 11th until the first week of December when it finally cooled down enough that they could start coming in and scraping this stuff out. And then what happened to the building is that, and if you look at the photos, photo plate number 44 and 45 in the Palmer report at Veterans Today, you can see that there was a flat bedrock underneath the building at the time that they constructed the building, which is why the parking garage only goes down 6 levels. And that was about 40 feet below grade level in Manhattan. But that was also just 15 feet below sea level on the Hudson River. And so they kept the dirt retaining wall, which was left over glacial till, in order to keep the building from flooding. And they built the retaining wall around it, which was called the bathtub. But they didn't go any deeper than that because they would have had to do blasting in order to get through the granite bedrock. But then when the building material was being excavated, they ended up having a 100-foot deep hole underneath the building. And then they came back in Veterans Today. This is something I just discovered about 3 or 4 months ago. I went to their site to see what to verify, because they keep changing the slides. And somebody had put in the slides that, oh, lo and behold, there was a glacial melt hole underneath the building. And I notified Gordon Duff, and I said, what in the hell happened? And he goes, I don't know, but that apparently somebody wrote a paper. And they linked to the paper and edited the Veterans Today site, which is at an Iceland ISP, so that they could be, quote, hack-proof. And still somebody managed to hack in and put a link to a research paper that shows that there was glacial meltwater hole underneath the World Trade Center building. Well, that hole wasn't there when they built the damn building. So how in the hell did it get there after the building collapsed and fell into the hole? And all around the granite bedrock, you see metamorphic rock, which is heat produced. And then also they put reflecting ponds directly over the biggest radioactive hotspots, because water is a tremendous absorber of gamma rays and also a good absorber of heat. And it evaporates and reduces the heat signature. So bottom line is the World Trade Center sites are still radioactive today, and they were radioactive at the time that it happened.
Joe, yes, the case is simply overwhelming. I just can't believe how extensively the truth about 9/11 has been concealed and covered up. I mean, it's just outrageous.
I challenge any expert on 9/11 to debate me, and I challenge any expert on global warming to debate me. But it's going to have to be an expert, because I'm not going to sit there and waste my time talking about people that are like, well, no, the Earth is actually flat. It's not round, and that's where you're wrong. And it's like, no, we actually did land on the moon, when I know we didn't land on the moon, and that there's no such thing as nuclear weapons, when it's absolutely 100% provable that nuclear energy is an enormous amount of energy source. And whether it's fission or fusion, the bottom line is that is the most powerful forces that we're aware of in the universe at this particular point. So, I'm not going to waste my time talking with them. But I'll tell you what, if you want to invite me to Congress to sit down and explain this to a congressional committee, I'd be more than happy to. If you want to invite me on any news media that has national standing, I'd be delighted to. Tucker Carlson, if you want to talk to somebody that knows what the hell happened on 9/11, I'm 100% available. And the same thing with global warming. I can explain it to you and your audience in a way that is completely understandable. And there again, Jim and I have done a great hour-long video at BitChute back in, I think it was December of 2020 on the, maybe it was 2022, on the Twin Towers. You can look under Joe Olson, Twin Towers in the search on BitChute. But then also we did another one recently that was 90 minutes long, but we went through a lot of this same material. And that was one that we did back in February. And there again, it's at BitChute. And if this is this interview is posted at BitChute, I will definitely put the links to those two interviews as well, because it's useful information. And the thing is that I've got so much information that even if I'm interviewed for hours on end, there's still a lot of details that I'm not able to include in every discussion. But I understand this 100%.
Oh, Joe, I know you do. We're going to open the lines for callers. The number is 608-957-8727. 957-8727, area code 608. The calls, I'm going to open the lines already. Joe, just looking forward. What can you suggest is going to happen here with regard to 2024? Are we going to be allowed to have an election, or are they going to shut it off, declare martial law? And with the massive hordes pouring over the border, our southern border, I mean, this is totally unsustainable. I mean, what can be done? I'm just outraged that we have an administration that is out to destroy America. This is an American government that is destroying America deliberately as a matter of policy.
Yes. Well, Tom Fenton at Judicial Watch just published the new information on the Rhino Congress funding 100% of the Biden program to destroy America. And that includes all of the foreign war funding and the importation of these people at taxpayer expense, the ridiculous stuff that they're doing with the WHO treaty and everything else that's involved in destroying our country 100%. And it couldn't happen without a bipartisan effort. And so we don't have a Congress. What we have is a complete 100% puppet government, where these people think that somehow they're going to be exempt from all of the toxic environment they've created for the rest of us, and that they're going to end up being the saviors. And it's ridiculous, because in every other Bolshevik revolution, the first thing that they do is they get rid of the brown shirts that put them in power. So a word of warning to all of you uniparty people, you'll be the first ones that they take to the gallows once they complete their current Bolshevik revolution in America.
We have a caller from the 408 area code, and if I don't miss my mark, it's Keith Rogers. Keith, join the conversation.
Keith Rogers? Who the heck is Keith Rogers?
Oh, forgive me, Paul. Yeah, I misread. Go ahead, Paul, join the conversation.
Well, you know, as soon as you said we're going to take callers, I was thinking, okay, what should I address, what I've already heard? But then it didn't take more than a couple sentences for you to say something that would trigger me. And then Joe immediately answered it when he said, he just said it. He said, we have a 100% puppet government. That's it. He just answered it, because what you said, Jim, is you said, we have an administration that is bent on, you know, and then whatever you said after that, right? No, we don't have an administration. We don't have any sort of administration. We don't have any sort of government. As I mentioned to you before, we have, you know exactly what we have. No need to repeat it.
Yeah, it's making the point as a formality. We have people in office who are screwing the country, Paul. I think you understood my point.
Sure, but it doesn't matter who's in office. And I think Joe made the point earlier in the show about Trump and exactly, you know, what it is. I mean, those four things that Wayne Root, you know, wrote. And, of course, you may not know this, but Wayne Root is Jewish, okay? is none of those has any chance of taking place, right? Like day one, executive order, you know, saying that no way, shape, or form will there ever be a mandate again for masks, vaccines, you know, business shutdown. You know, Trump's not going to, he's not going to apologize for that, you know, and he's not going to ensure that will never happen again because he was the one behind it. Okay, he had all the opportunity to put a stop to that, and he didn't. He endorsed it. Okay, and then whatever the other three were, I think one of them was appoint RFK to some position, and then also was another one was to have some sort of accountability for the big pharma. None of those will happen. You know this, and Trump's not stupid, right? He's a smart guy. He's a quote politician, but that's not what he's made of. That's not who he is. It's unfortunate, but I think you're getting a glimpse of it now. And when you say there's unfortunately Trump is the only alternative, no, I'm sorry. He's not the answer to what needs to happen, and we all know what needs to happen, and sooner or later it's going to happen, or we're finished, you know?
Yeah, and you're talking about taking up arms to overthrow that tyrannical government, Paul. I'm confident that is your conclusion, that the only viable. You may be right about that, by the way. I'm terribly distraught with Trump at this point in time. I no longer believe in him as I have in the past, especially about Gaza and suggesting Israel needs to finish a job where he's been given a menorah and designated a prince of peace for supporting genocide. That to me is far over the line. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, what did they offered? Didn't they give Obama a Nobel Peace Prize as well? Didn't they? I mean, you look back at the history of all these awards that these people get, you know, give to each other. It's just a slap in the face. It's all laughable. So, well, now's as good a time as any. Why don't you just repeat after me? I pledge allegiance to the National Socialist flag. And
Paul.
Well, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of Jewish people that have been awake for a long period of time and have been very active and forceful about it. One of them would be Max Blumenthal at Gray Zone, and he is about 100% exposing the lies that are going on. And there's some other Jewish people, and the ones that weren't on board before are recognizing what's happening in Gaza right now, and they're actually calling it out. And there's a growing movement in the United States to renounce Zionism 100%.
Okay.
So
take a deep breath, everybody. We're hitting the break, and we'll come back with Paul and a second caller standing by. We'll be right back with Joe Wilson, Paul, and a new caller.
Okay.
Did I miss the new caller? Join the conversation. We'll carry over 816. Join the conversation.
Yeah. Jill talked about how the brown shirts were thrown under the bus when Hitler came to power, if you read Christian Rakowski's interrogation by Lewansky the Rothschild thing on Henry Mackau, when the Bolsheviks came to power, they took all the Freemasons, except the Jewish ones, and they killed all of them, including their families, their children, whatever. So that's just how they work. And what concerns me is the fact that Trump, and you can see the videos of it on Macau, where he's being praised by all the Jews at the White House back then, that he was their first Jewish president. He's at Shabbat Levunovich, or whatever it's called, a cult, and that's the death cult. It's like the worst of the worst, and they originated in Ukraine. And Zelensky's in that cult, and so is Kushner and his daughter, Trump's daughter. And when you read what's on there, you can access a lot of the speeches of these rabbis from this Chabad cult. And God, it just it sends chills through your body. I mean, they're just absolutely the worst. They want to kill all the Jews too, except for I think 500,000 Jews that are not mixed multitudes, is what they call it. You have to be totally pure Neanderthal, and then they'll save you. But if you've got any, you know, Aryan in you at all, you're dead in their book. So that's kind of what they have coming for us.
And let's not just isolate this to Hitler and his brown shirts. The Bolsheviks did the exact same thing when they killed Trotsky and a whole bunch of their, quote, Red Army. And then Stalin did the exact same thing when he killed a whole bunch of his generals because he didn't want them rising to power. And Mao did the exact same thing in his Cultural Revolution. So this is endemic with that particular type of tyranny. They're going to turn around and kill the people that put them in power because those are the ones that are most able to take them out of power. So that's their number one first victim, and that's why these people in the Uniparty need to wake the hell up, because you're not safe thinking that you've got your 401k and your multi-million dollar and your pension, because all of that stuff's going to collapse at the same exact time.
Paul, go ahead. The break didn't click in automatically as it would have, so we're break free. Go ahead, Paul, your thoughts.
All right, break free, full steam ahead. So I'm going to address briefly what, you know, Joe said. And essentially, what you have here, the essence of the problem, I love the word intrinsic or intrinsically, because I've used it so many times. And it's like, what is the essence, the in and of itself, what is the issue? And the issue has always been their presence amongst us, that they're here. And they always do the same thing in every society. I mean, there's variations to what they've done, but it doesn't matter what Jews or which Jews protest, don't go along, are opposed to, you know, this. Okay, that's all well and good, right? And we don't really know for sure exactly how many will or how many won't, you know, except for the ones that are vocal. And can they really be trusted? I mean, we need separation. We so-called white nationalists, that's all we ask, separation. Just the same thing with blacks, okay? Sure, there's decent blacks, there's hardworking blacks, there's well-behaved, there's tax-paying blacks, but what is it that you get with any significant number of blacks? You always get the same goddamn thing, right? And you can see it on, you know, the worst thing that ever happen with the awareness of Jews is the internet. And of course the best thing could ever happen in terms of the awareness of black behavior is the cell phone camera. The cell phone camera has been very, very bad for public relations for blacks. Okay. And the internet is very, very bad news for Jews, because now everybody knows, everybody can read history. You don't have to sit in a classroom and be assigned, books to read. And I mean, I'm in favor of people doing research and reading books, but now the truth is told on many, many different websites, many different videos, and it's been told for a couple of decades now. And that's why there's people that are waking up to this problem. So again, I don't care which Jews oppose the Jews that are in power, they've got to go, okay? They can have their own nation somewhere else. If it's Israel, fine, they all go to Israel. Have a wonderful life there, but you can't exist here. Because in the minute they start existing in large numbers, they're going to advocate for equal status. And the one thing we've learned now is we can't give certain groups of people equal status, equal rights. I'm sorry. You just can't have it. Not with these people.
And
thanks.
And you mentioned Jared Kushner. Yes, he is definitely one of those Kabbalists. And amazingly enough, when Trump was running as candidate, Jared had bought the 666 tower in New York, which he bought at the peak of the real estate boom, and then the real estate boom crashed, and he had a net worth of minus $500 million in 2016. As soon as Trump was elected, him and Ivanka flew over to China, and they started offering condos where if you made an investment of $500,000, you could get green cards for your spouse and four children to move to the United States because you were, quote, making an investment. And there's a special green card group for that. And so he got caught over in China trying to sell these condo spaces, and he ended up immediately withdrawing that proposal. But the amazing thing is that when Trump left office in 2021, Jared had a net worth of $2 billion. So you can talk all you want about Burisma and Hunter being absolutely corrupt. It's time to start talking about Ivanka and Jared because they are very corrupt. And another little cute thing, riddle is, did you hear about the Jewish rabbi that was doing circumcision for free? Yeah, he was only working for tips. And they've got absolute examples of rabbis in New York that have been giving AIDS, herpes to kids because they like to suck their penises after they cut the top off of them. And that's one of the reprehensible behaviors, because if they'll do that to their own children, imagine what they do with the goyim that they managed to catch running around loose. And that's what they've been doing in every culture for 2,500 years. And that's what we find repulsive. And that's what, if you can't purge that from your religion, then you don't have the right to share the rest of the planet with humanity, because you are inhuman.
Brian. Okay, Jim? Jim?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Jim.
Go ahead.
Joe just cut in front of you now for the torchlight ceremony. Joe, I now award you the Iron Cross with oak leaf clusters. Welcome to the party.
Brian.
That's the Knight's Cross. When you've got oak leaf clusters, you wear that on the neck. That's the Knight's Cross. That's not an Iron Cross.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate the correction.
Well, one thing I'd like to say, I don't put Hitler and Stalin in that same group. To me, they're patsies, just like Oswald. It's a deep state, okay? Every government has a deep state. You know, the Russian government has one. The German government had one, you know. And if you really dig deep into what Stalin was doing when he was getting rid of all those people in the purges, you know, the trial transcripts used to be on the internet, and they would start out, "This is comrade so-and-so. He is an agent of City of London. He's responsible for the Holodorm in Ukraine. And for that, he's going to be ex." That's how every one of those show trials started out. They've eliminated it. So, and Hitler, it's the same. If you read the Hitler 25-point plan that came out February 24th of 1920, if we could enact that 25-point Hitler plan, we would have no problems, because it was things like seal the border, no Jews in the government, and it just went on and on and on, and there would be no problems in this country if we had that. They were patsies. The deep state is in every country, and unfortunately, our deep state is really, really powerful right now.
By the way, too, Brian, one of those points which I often emphasize, and it's at no time more important than today, is that all large incomes, not based on work or not based upon the production of something, you know, valuable to society, will disappear. That's what they basically said, is all large incomes, you know, and you can look at that now and think of how the wealth of so many of these people, what is it based upon? Okay, and in many cases, it would be what? You know, interest on money, creating money out of nothing, loaning it into circulation, or, for example, insurance, utilities, all these things where you're able to essentially attach yourself to some regular recurring monthly revenue. Most of it not based upon work of any sort. In other words, not based upon production. And that could be tweaked, but that's the most, because we have given these people, we didn't give it to them, they basically usurped it, the control over the issuance of money. And now, basically, you know, it's all made up. All this debt is completely made up. All this money that they're throwing around everywhere, it's just they have a spigot, and they can just turn it on and off when they want. And they also continue to inflate the currency, which drives up the capital gains, right? In other words, without inflation, you wouldn't have people making all this money off of real estate and stocks. And, of course, capital gains from stocks and real estate isn't really based on work either, so that should really go away. So, yeah, call me a full-on socialist as long as I am a national socialist, and we'll give that a try, because I honestly believe that with white people, any form of government works, because we are so cooperative, so productive, so inventive, and we are so moral. That's why a high-trust society is possible with us. but it's not possible with these other elements.
Well, and,
There's a great documentary by Michael Ribeiro called All Wars Are Bankers Wars. It's like 45 minutes long. And then I highly recommend the site Tales of the American Empire. They've got 130 different episodes, and a dozen of those are on the Anglo-American War against Russia, which is really telling about what our government's actually been up to. But getting back to Hitler, he was financed by U.S. bankers. The U.S. ambassador to Germany was William Dodd, and he was appointed by FDR in 1933. In 1937, he submitted his resignation. He said American corporations had invested over $100 million of Depression-era capital into Germany, and Germany has not paid a dime in interest or principal, and I see no way of resolving this short of war. I don't want to be here when the war happens. And so FDR said, okay, well, I'll let you resign in January of 1938, because it's going to take me that long to get a new ambassador appointed. But meanwhile, we had a guy named Reinhard Gehlen, G-E-H-L-E-N, who was in a law school with Alan Dulles at Oxford for several years. And then they both went to Sullivan and Cromwell, where they worked together for several years. And Reinhard Gehlen was able to secure a $250 million loan in gold, which is what that, in combination with the American corporation investment, is what created the Nazi miracle. Reinhard Gehlen, then underneath Hitler, was head of the Abwehr, A-B-W-E-H-R, which was the CIA version of the rulers over the FBI version of the Gestapo, which was an SS, which were in Germany. So he held that post. After the war, he was not prosecuted as a war criminal. He managed to export all of the all of the captured German gold to the Swiss border, and then him and Alan Dulles were able to sneak it into Swiss bank accounts so that the bankers were paid back for the loan that they had made in the 1930s. And then post-war, he was head of the BNND, which was the East German secret police, and he was also made a NATO general.
There's something that's not quite right there. The head of the Abwehr was Canaris, Admiral Canaris. Gehlen was number two. And the industrialists of Germany, wanted Calegri to take over the Nazi party. Okay. Yeah, they always, you know, fund people that they think are going to do their bidding, but Calegri of the Calegri plan was rejected. And what got Hitler into trouble was when he ran out the Zionist banker puppet they put in there, Schlatt, at the behest of Federer. And so when Hitler started printing his own money, and that's in that Rothschild conducts Red Symphony article on Macau, even Rakowski says we could not have a country printing their own money. Think of what would happen if that spread to other countries. And that's why they ended up, you know, destroying Hitler. Yeah. So,
and just quickly on Gehlen, I listened a lot back in the 80s and 90s to a show where they covered so much. There's a wealth of material on Gehlen, a very interesting character. There's suspicions he may have been Jewish or part Jewish. But after the war, he was at the service of the Allies, and it was mainly because of him that the Cold War was kept going, and he was being paid. He received regular cash, shall we say, contributions from our intelligence services, because he always claimed to have information to sell. And in many ways, he was responsible for keeping all the Cold War spending going. So it's the same old story with all these people all the time. I will quickly add another
video. Well, and
video.
Canaris was Jewish. He was a Greek Jew.
Right.
So,
but there's also, okay, I just, you know, fast before we run out of time here. Another video has been made known to me by a listener too. It's called The Architect on BitChute. All right. It's called The Architect. And it goes into exactly what it is these people have been able to do. You know, let's face it, we are dealing with an enemy that's very organized, very determined, and they do cooperate at the very highest levels, and probably at a lot of levels that we don't suspect as well. So, you know, it's like I said at the beginning of the call, it's the same story over and over again. We have to separate, and we can't be nice about it, because they're always going to do the same thing they've always done. I think that's a reasonable conclusion to make.
Wow, but great call, interesting. Can you send us some of the links to that material so we can make sure it gets out in a more understandable format? Because I've studied this stuff extensively for 50 years, and some of this is new material to me, so I certainly appreciate it.
Well, one of the most important documents of the 20th century is on that Henry Mackau, Rothschild conducts the Red Symphony. And that, to me, if you read through that whole thing, I mean, it will just blow your mind. It used to be, it was so far out there for me when I first read it, I couldn't believe it. But as time goes on, you understand that everything in there is spot on. And by the way, Larry Patton McDonald, who is going to be running against Bush Sr., who was on that flight that went to Japan, was that 007, and it got put over Russia,
and they sent a
Sukhoi Su-15 and shot it down. They actually played with the navigation to get that over Russia so they could take out Larry Patton McDonald. I find it interesting that Galen was one of his advisors. Okay. So they actually started an anti-Council on Foreign Relations group, and Hines and Church and all those people were on there. And, of course, we all know what happened to all of them. The deep state weren't going to have any competition. But so I think he may be down the road turned on them. And so I found that interesting.
And by the way, quick correction, the documentary I mentioned, the architect, it's on Rumble, not BitChute. Hopefully we can get it on BitChute, but it's on Rumble. And just quickly, Joe, that was great work. I had not heard that before about Jared Kushner and, you know, so forth. So make sure that those links are available through Jim.
Okay. And then also the Korean Airlines Flight 007 was September 1st, 1993. And, the guy that was going to be running against him, I'm very aware of the corruption by the Bush family. I've met author Pete Bruton of the book The Mafia, the CIA, and George Bush about the $600 billion savings and loan heist. And that was a 100% state-orchestrated heist, and it all went to people that were inside the deep state. And, I met Pete Bruton selling his book at a card table in front of the Harris County Courthouse because no bookstore would sell it. And he had won a contract with Simon & Schuster that they were going to pay him $1 million if they didn't publish the book. And he said, well, it needs to be published by no later than August of 1992 because Bush is up for reelection and people need to know what actually happened with the savings and loan heist. And I've got that in a video that's on a Rumble channel also, and I'll put a link to that. It's Joe Olson 2 under bitshoot.ely/. But bottom line is, I'm very well aware of the voter fraud that's gone on, that's 100% orchestrated and 100% conducted by these people. And I'm very familiar with the amount of corruption, particularly with the Bush family, because I live here in Texas. And in Texas, we have memorial libraries to three mass murdering psychopaths that never attended the colleges where their libraries are located. That's LBJ in Austin at UT, George Bush Sr., which I call Big Bush at Texas A&M, where he never attended, and then Baby Bush at SMU University. And all three of these libraries are full of shit, and all of them need to be repurposed into humanitarian truth centers so that we can get truth out to everybody about how rotten these three particular puppets were as president, but also how rotten every other president has been. It's disgusting.
Except Kennedy.
Yeah, you got a point there. Yeah, so they had an exit plan for him. And that's the thing that worries me most is that Trump, despite all of his defects, is pretty good at hitting the deep state in areas that are apparent to everybody. And so he's a threat. And if they can't take him out with crooked voting, then there's a chance that they'll take him out the other way, the JFK, RFK, MLK exit plan.
Paul, I can't believe you would be at a loss for words, my friend. Join.
as I've gotten older here, all my thoughts and words have become condensed. You know, it's just I'm not as wide ranging as I used to be, because I just see so clearly what the issue is, unfortunately, and I know you do as well, Jim. I mean, we all wish there was some sort of remediation or reform within the system, but the current system is completely and totally it's not just bankrupt, it's useless to us at this moment. They've got it all figured out. I mean, legally, right, medically, politically, certainly by the media and the means of propaganda. You know, there's no other way. Unfortunately, it's just the way it is throughout history. There's times where there's nothing left to the people that are being screwed over, the people that are being ruled, the people that are being subjected to a particular agenda. There's nothing left to them except what's always left at the end of the day. And we all know what that is.
It's forks and torches. Yeah. Yeah, we're down to that point.
Yeah, well, I mean, come
Jim,
on.
Jim, real quick.
Go ahead.
I just want to know when you're going to have Sophia Smallstorm back on. I uncovered more information she'd find interesting. I've been dying to talk to that girl, and I can't get through on email. They just won't let me email anybody. It's like when I did that show with you and Greg Hallett, and I cut a bunch of it out. I run into it all the time, so I just can't get a hold of her.
Listen, email me, and I'll forward it to her.
I can't email.
It won't work.
I can't email anybody. Okay, so anyway.
How can you not email anybody? You can put it on Skype, for crying out loud, then, Brian. Put it
in
Skype.
Okay, I'm not good with all that
appears to be the problem. Joe, you've been wonderful today. Your final thoughts before we must conclude our conversation?
Oh, yeah. Turns out TNT Radio, which I was a co-host on for 2 years, is probably going to fold their tent. I got a notice on Saturday morning that they were canceling the program that I'd been on with John O'Sullivan at Principia Scientific. And then today I got an email from Jeremy Nell, who operates Germ Warfare Site out of South Africa. Great guy. He's interviewed me for 90 minutes on his particular website, his blog, and then also 4 hours on TNT Radio about the 911 and on false flags. He also interviewed James Spetzer, but he's a great interviewer. He just sent me a notice that they canceled his program, too. So apparently that former source of truth news on the radio is in the process of being silenced. So that's what they do. If you end up putting out too much truth, they manage to find a way to extinguish you. So that's tragic news that we've lost TNT Radio.
TNT not only dropped you, Joe, but they've dropped Jeremy. That's just offensive in the extreme. He and I did a number of really sensational interviews about JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, and more. You can find several of them on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Paul, a final thought from you.
Well, it's we got 7 minutes to go. Well, actually, probably less, 4 minutes. But I will just say this, that, you know, that old, I guess we'll call it a story or allegory, the emperor has no clothes.
Of course.
Well, in this particular case, we can all see with our own eyes what sort of clothes our rulers are wearing. Okay. It's become apparent to all. In my opinion, at this point, only the completely brain dead could not see that there's zero difference between the so-called communist agenda or the people behind communism and our own government, right? There is no difference. It's one and the same. And hopefully that will lead to our own American revolution, no matter what form it takes, because these people are not going anywhere, and we've all seen they're not going to let up. They're going to continue to push what they're doing, because if one thing they've shown is they're bold and they're determined, and that's what we face.
Brian.
Well, I can agree with that. I go back to what Otto Kahn said in his dinner with the ambassador from France to England. He was asking him about how the bankers could fund communism. And Otto Kahn, who was a partner in Kuhn Loeb with Jacob Schiff and Warburg, said, "It doesn't matter left or right. We control both sides, and we're the fulcrum in the middle." And, you know, we're seeing all of that now. We're seeing it with Trump, with, you know, what he's saying. And Paul is spot on.
And I'll just quickly add real quick that communism is nothing more than a mechanism for world Jewish domination. And it's a mechanism of destruction. That's all this is. It's Jewish revolution and Jewish takeover towards their dream of a world government. And you got to hand it to them. They've been as despicable and evil as the agenda is, they've been implementing it successfully to this point.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, pretty disturbing stuff. Always glad to get your voices on the air, my friend. And Joe, thank you, especially regarding the 9/11 issues, which are so absolutely crucial, which the public continues to be misled with regard to. And again, repeat, global warming on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Where can everyone find the series on global warming, Joe?
It's at BitChute, and then just in the search engine, put in Joe Olson, O-L-S-O-N, comma, climate change. And it's been relinked by several other different websites on BitChute. But basically, it's a 9-part series. They're hour-long each, and it's video, so I'm able to show the graphics and things that that make it very understandable. And there again, Jim, we need to do one on nuclear power, because it's light water reactors are absolutely hideous. And we also need to do one on proxy data, which is where they use stupid stuff like tree rings and ice core data to claim things that they have absolutely no right to claim.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Hello,
my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.